Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that should be our attitude towards the Lord, that we just can't stop praising him because God has been so good to us. He has blessed us even when we didn't know we were being blessed. God has loved us even when we didn't know we were being loved. And when we were seemingly unlovable, God has loved us. And he's chosen to bless us. He's chosen to give us eternal life. And we ought to be praising him, if for nothing else, for that alone, that he's given us eternal life. You know, because we could still be stuck out there in a, you know, in a false religion, or not even a false religion, just not even knowing God, just being an enemy of God. We could still be stuck out there as God's enemy. But glory to God, he saved us. He drew us to him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that we can be saved, so that we can accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, that we might have the right to the tree of life. Glory to God. So it is comely for the saints of God to praise him. It is comely for us to praise him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. A lot of times we find ourselves complaining, and that's not giving glory to God. That's giving glory to the enemy. But God wants us to glorify him. He said, I will not share my glory with anybody. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he wants us to glorify him. He wants us to praise him. He wants us to exalt him. He wants us to lift him up. Why? Because he is God, and nobody can do us like he does. Hallelujah. Glory to God. As we said on the broadcast last night, there are other gods out there. There's other deities that people have believed in and still believe in. But the true and living God, he is the one and only. There is no God like him. There is no God beside him. People make gods with their hands. We make things become our gods, our TVs, our homes, our cars, our money. We make these things be God. But guess what? When we need healing, those things can't heal us. When we need deliverance, those things can't deliver us. When we need to be set free from whatever we need to be set free from, those things can't set us free. The only thing, the only person that can set us free is the true and living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Krishna can't save us. Hallelujah. Muhammad can't save us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Pope, he can't even save us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But our faith in Jesus Christ is what saves us. Hallelujah. And God gave us that opportunity because he said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I thank him for that tonight, for everlasting life. Hallelujah. And now we're just going to lift him up. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
I want to know how many of you come to celebrate tonight. I need all the worshipers to make some noise up in here. You know they don't praise him like this no more. But the Bible says let everything that have breath praise the Lord. So if you feel like dancing, if you feel like shouting, don't let nobody stop you. Get your praise on because he's worthy.
He is worthy. He is worthy.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus is the best thing that could ever happen to me. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I can say Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. We talked about this last night on the broadcast, and, you know, my husband and I were talking about it and said, you know, we've had children, we're married, you know, we've had good things happen to us throughout our lives, but we can honestly say that Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know why? Because he went to that old rugged cross for me. He went to that cross on Calvary for me. Hallelujah. For my old stinking self. Yes, he did. Hallelujah. He did that for me. Hallelujah. And because he did that for me, we ought to praise him. Because he did that for you, you ought to praise him. Hallelujah. You know, we don't need to wait until God blesses us with a car or with a home or with money, all this stuff. We have to have an attitude of gratitude. And our attitude of gratitude can be found in our praise towards God. Hallelujah. Because if we just wait until God does stuff for us to praise him, is that real praise anyway? If we just wait for him to bless us with this or bless us with that, is that real praise? I think the test of our real praise comes when we're really going through whatever we're going through, and we can praise God through that. Hallelujah. We can praise God through the bad doctor report. We can praise God through whatever it is that we're going through at the time. I believe that's a sign of a real, true praise from within our hearts, because if we just wait until we get stuff, I don't know how often we would be praising God. I really don't know. But I'm talking to myself. I'm preaching to myself right now, because I've been in a place where I've been sad. I've been angry. I've been depressed. I've been just mad at nothing, just allowing the devil to have his way. But God, when he woke me up, he said, you can't do that. That's not glorifying me. But we have a choice whether we're going to glorify God or glorify Satan. We have a choice. But let me tell you this. Satan ain't never done anything for us that's worthwhile. He's never done anything to us or for us that's worthwhile. And anything that Satan does present us with, remember this, that the end result is destruction. Remember that. Anything the enemy presents us with, the end result is destruction. He means us no good at all. Satan means us no good at all. Anything he presents us with, the end result is destruction. The end result is he's determined to have us separated from God. Just look in the book of Genesis. All you got to do is, you don't have to go any further than the book of Genesis, the first chapter, the second chapter, the third chapter. Read the story about Adam and Eve. Read the story of how the serpent tricked Eve. Okay? His whole determination was to have us separated from God. And he's still not finished. He's still tempting. He's still deceiving. He's still out there doing things and causing problems in the believers' lives. But guess what? We have to remember that the song that we just heard, Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to us. We have to remember that we can't withhold our praise from Almighty God, because no matter what, God is. He is good. I don't care what it looked like, what it feel like. God is good, and he is deserving of our praise. There's no point of us being selfish and holding it. Just go and praise God. It don't matter what you look like or who's around or whatever the case is. Praise God. You want to give him a solemn praise? Okay. But praise God. Just praise him. Hi, honey. You're on the phone. This is Bishop Scott on the phone. Hallelujah. Do you have anything? Do you have anything to add to this praising God?
I believe that's what we need to do. Praise is not predicated on circumstances. Praise is from your heart. Praise is from your spirit. That God is worthy of your praise. It's not a thing where I'm going to wait until he does something good for me or brings me out of a situation that is bad. But he's just worthy to be praised just because of who he is.
Yes, hallelujah.
He gave us his most precious gift. If that's not worthy to be praised, he's been there for us in the most difficult times, as well as the good times. If that's not worthy of praise, I don't know what is. He's blessed us with so many things. And I'm not talking about material things. I'm talking about life, health. Many of us can say this night that that our immediate family, our nuclear family is all intact. Our children are still are in bed or doing their homework or watching TV or listening to the radio, whatever they may be doing. The chain has not been broken in most of our homes, and even those homes that have met with tragedy in them. Someone has gone to heaven, or someone has become sick, or someone has lost something vitally important to them. We still can praise Him even in that situation, because He promised never to leave us nor forsake us, and that He would be our comforter in times of depression, in time of despair. That He would never forsake us, no matter what we go through. We can count on Him. It says in the Psalms, when our mother and fathers are taken away from us, we can go to Him and find solace. We can go to Him and find a resting place. We can go to Him and find a place where we can recline in His warmth, in His love, in His compassion, in His kindness, in His goodness, His grace and His mercy. We can go to Him.
Amen.
And find a resolution to whatever we have to go through in our lives. Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me in my entire life. I have a wife that I love dearly. I have children that I love dearly. I have grandchildren, a mother that's still in the land of the living. I have siblings and in-laws and others who are dear to my heart, friends that are long-lasting. But with all of that, if He was not in my life, if Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, was absent from my life, my life would have no meaning, would have no substance, would have no real value to me, because His being in my life makes all the others in my life even the more valuable.
Well, amen. Thank you, Lord. Hello?
Yes.
Okay, all right, amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The Bible says that in Psalm 107, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom the Lord hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." I know He's redeemed me from the hand of the enemy. And he was like, and you may say, well, I don't have any enemy right now. Nobody's really bothering me right now. Oh, yeah, Satan is your enemy. He's our enemy every single day. He's our enemy. But the Lord has redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. Hallelujah. He's redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we ought to praise Him. Hallelujah. And we ought to say so. Glory to God. And we're going to listen to this song, "Let the Redeemed of the Lord," hallelujah, say so. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister Dorvis, hallelujah, on the line. I don't know what you're doing over there, but hallelujah. Let the redeemed of the Lord praise him. Hallelujah. I don't know if you want to say anything, but I pressed the microphone, so if you have anything to say, you can say it right now, Sister Dorvis, if that's you at 83, area code 832. Amen. Amen.
Yes, yes.
Amen, amen. You have anything you'd like to say?
The only thing I was hearing was that he uses the meek and the humble to confound the wise. And it was just something that was going in my head that happened Sunday at church, and I was just saying he uses the meek. He showed me these angels. I go to a prophetic church,
uh-huh.
And the angels were coming down, and I knew who was going to speak because the angels would come down and get behind him and touch him on the shoulder, and they would start speaking the prophecy. But the one lady who was meek, she was humble, and it was like a king had came down. He had a throne on his head, but she was insecure, and he was just telling me he uses the meek ones to confound the wise, and I had to tell her that she was supposed to speak even though the other lady had said something. She still was supposed to speak. I sit in the background, and I don't know if that was for anybody on the line. I really don't know. I really don't know. But thank you. I just wanted to listen in. Thank you for being here. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Amen. This is just something the Lord had given me. Just dropped in my spirit to just play songs of praise and play songs of worship. Because we need to do that. We need to get in the habit of praise. We need to get in the habit of worship, and that's having a relationship with God. And sometimes as believers, you know, our relationship with God can be so superficial. It can just be so, you know, on the surface, but he wants us to go deeper in him. He wants us to really, really fall in love with Jesus. And there's a song, and I don't have that in my playlist, but there's a song called Falling in Love with Jesus. It's the best thing I've ever done. And I'm going to see if I can find that song and put it on the playlist. But that's what he wants us to do, to just fall in love with him just because he's God. Not because of what he can do for us, but just because he's God. You know, he chose us here for whatever reason. You know, he chose us to be here. We didn't have to be here. And like my husband says, you know, a lot of times, the chances of us being here is one in I don't know how many millions, okay?
Yeah.
If you know anything about science or you know anything about the reproductive system and how all of that stuff works for a woman, you know, to actually conceive a child, there's many, you know, things squirming around in there that could have been, you know, it didn't have to be us. But God chose us to be here for whatever reason. I don't know God's purpose. I don't know his plan. But he chose us to be here. You know, we didn't have to be here. You know?
Yeah.
But he chose us to be here. So we ought to just thank him and fall in love with him and glorify him. And I'm really talking to myself because I don't know, you know, what's going to happen in the future. But there's a reason that God is allowing me to talk about this. There's a reason. He's reminding me to just fall in love with him, to just, you know, like it was when my husband and I were dating. We were just so silly, and we would talk, and we would be around each other for at least 8, 9, 10 hours a day and then go home and be on the phone for the rest of the night, falling asleep on the phone, just nutty.
Yeah.
And, you know, because we were falling in love with each other. So we wanted to spend as much time with each other as we could. We didn't ever want to leave each other's presence. We just wanted to be around each other so much. And, you know, when we first get saved, that's how we feel with God. Oh, I love you, Lord. I love you so much. And we just talk about him and, you know, we want to please him. And then along the way, we get comfortable, you know. And, okay, well, I'm saved now, so... You know, I'm going to heaven. It's all good. I don't have to read my Bible. I don't have to praise God. I don't have to pray, you know, kind of thing. But God wants us to have an attitude of praise. He wants us to change our mind. He wants us to renew our mind so we can have that attitude of praise. You know,
yes.
We give praise to everything else. We give praise to other things, but God wants us to praise him. And
yes.
Usually if you read through the Psalms, you can see so many things that David was talking about and other psalmists were talking about. Praise the Lord. They were praising God because God had proven himself to them. He had proven himself to them over and over again. And God, if we're truthful about it, God's proven himself to us over and over again. Over and every day, God proves himself to us.
He does.
You know, we might not always have the things that we want, but God provides every single thing that we need. He provides what we need. And guess what? He still provides things that we want. He does, even when we don't deserve it. But the most thing that he provided for us was the blood of Jesus. The other thing that he provided for us was the stripes that Jesus bore on his body for us, that we might be free, that we might be healed. It says with his stripes we were healed. We were healed from sin. We were healed from eternal damnation. That's what we were healed from.
Yeah.
Okay, because if we would have stayed in the state that we were in, we'd still be on our way to hell.
Yes.
But God and his love for us, his love for us, he just loved us because he's God. He's a God of love. He can't do nothing but love us.
Yeah.
So don't we think that we owe him praise?
Yes.
Don't we owe him praise?
Yes.
Simply because of what he's done for us, we owe him that.
Yes.
And he deserves that. No matter what, God deserves, he's deserving of praise. No matter what is happening, he's deserving of praise. I know that, where was that, Gerald, where they had that school shooting where that guy killed those children?
Connecticut.
Colorado. Well, I'm not sure. I forgot.
Connecticut.
Yeah.
And I was looking at one of the dads when he came on. He had a press conference, and, you know, his little girl got killed in that shooting. And through his tears, what he said was, I forgive him. And he said, we must all forgive because that's what God did for us. He said, my little girl is gone, but I forgive him for killing my daughter. He said that through his tears. And he wanted to tell God, thank you for everything else that God had done for him. Now, I said, Lord, you know what? That was some strength. He had a real relationship with God to be able to stand there and say that.
It didn't take him years to get there either.
Take him years to get there. But guess what? I don't know if, and I'm not speaking this over my children, but I don't know if anything would happen to my children if I could stand there and say, Lord, I just want to thank you anyway. But I need to be in that place, and we all need to be in that place because we never know what's going to happen. You know, my mother died last year in May. My mother died in May, you know. And sometimes, you know, in our family, a lot of my siblings and nieces and stuff, and they talk about my mom, and they, you know, they're depressed because mom's not here and this, that, and the third. But guess what? We still have God. We got to keep on living. Why? Mommy not here. She can't come back. But the true and living God is here. He's here.
Mm-hmm.
I know it hurts that mommy's not here and all of that. But guess what? We got to trust in God. We got to seek God. We got to love God. As much as we say we loved our mother, we got to love God more than that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Because guess what? Mommy didn't die on the cross for us. Mommy didn't shed her blood for us. Mommy didn't take them stripes for us. She birthed us, and God used her to birth us, and I thank God that he did, because I wouldn't be who I am today if she didn't birth me. I don't know who I would be, but guess what? I am who I am, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
But God don't want us to be sad. He don't want us to be depressed. He doesn't want us to, you know, be walking around and, you know, feeling all of this darkness and stuff going on, because God is light. He wants us to be in him. If we get our relationship right with him, we ain't got to walk around like that anymore. And that's what the enemy, he doesn't want us to be free. He doesn't want any child of God to be free. He doesn't want any child of God to know who they are in God. He doesn't want any child of God to praise God for what he's done for us. He doesn't want us to do that.
He wants us to dwell in all of this other stuff that's going on. It might not even be about mommy. It might be about something else. I know because I got a lot going on in my body right now. And, you know, sometimes you just don't feel like it. You don't feel like being bothered. You be like, Lord, why this? Lord, why that? But he wants us to get to a place where we can say, Lord, I thank you. I know that you can heal me. But if you don't, I praise you anyway.
Amen. That's right. That's me. That's me. I got lupus, and I be sometimes be in so much pain, but I thank him anyway. I thank
him. Well,
how
about that? I have lupus, too.
Oh, okay. It's like, you know, some days it'd be hard. But you know what? He reveals so much. And just like you were saying, when I was in, I did something different in church. Normally I don't get up and praise him. I'd be a seat praiser. And this particular Sunday, I got up out of my seat and I just started praising him. And then he revealed something more to me than he had ever revealed before. And I had never seen this before. And I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. And I was waving my arms, and they probably thought I was crazy. Because, you know, after the praise worship session, it was a prophetic session, and I didn't care because I was still waving my arms and say, thank you, Jesus, you know, to myself, you know, thank you for showing me this. Thank you, Lord, because I said, you know what, I need to get up. I need to get up and stop focusing on my pain and get up and just start praising him out of my seat. Stand up. Stand up. Get out of my bed. Even though I'm in church and I'm not in bed, but you know what I mean. I'm steady besides sitting there, because when I'm praising him, sometimes the pain just go away. It's like I don't even feel no pain.
Oh,
I
the pain itch. Goes away when you're in praise. You know why? Because you're in the spirit. And that's the same thing with my husband. My husband has cerebral palsy. And I tell you, when my husband is preaching and he's teaching that word of God, you would never know that he has cerebral palsy. You would never know, you know, that he only has one hip. You wouldn't know that, because when the Spirit of God gets upon us, when we enter into his presence,
yes,
say, you're not in the natural anymore.
Right.
So,
That's right.
You're not feeling that stuff in the natural.
Yeah.
I've seen my husband, I'm trying to tell you, my husband is in a motorized wheelchair, and I promise you what I'm about to tell you is the truth. I have seen my husband run through the church. I have husband dance in the church. He has one hip, one leg is shorter than the other. He has cerebral palsy. He has arthritis in his body. The discs in his back are deteriorating. But when the Spirit of the Lord is upon him, you would never know that it was anything wrong with him. Why?
Amen.
Because he's entering into the presence of the Lord. And where the Spirit of the Lord is liberty.
Yes. Yes.
So you don't know what's going on when you're in the spirit, because the flesh don't understand all of that stuff. But when he come out the spirit, sometimes when he come out the spirit, he his body is aching him, and he's not a complainer, so he doesn't say a lot about it. But I can just look at him and tell that he's in a lot of pain.
Right.
You know. But when he's in the spirit, he's a whole different person. His whole countenance changes because he's in the spirit. Tell you, it's a sight to behold. So I know what you're talking about. I truly know what you're talking about.
And the light of God appears when you're in the spirit.
Yes.
And people, when I talk about the light, they don't understand. I said it's just when God's presence is in the room, the light is a light that shows out and it's bright. I said, it's a bright light. And people don't understand. I said, I just pray that you must see what I see. I pray that your eyes will open to see what I see. Because we all don't have the same abilities, but we're all part of the body of Christ. And believe me when I tell you, it's a light that comes when we're praising him. When we're praising him together, and we especially stronger when we're in group and we're all praising him. We don't have nobody sitting there talking about, because the person, if you have a person in praise, I notice this, that's talking about somebody else, it messes with the atmosphere. But when everybody is praising, oh my God, it's a whole different level.
It's a whole different level. And let me tell you something. The Bible says, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name,
yes,
there I am in the midst. A lot of people are gathering together, and they're not gathering together in his name, so Jesus don't show up.
Right.
Jesus it's show up.
Yeah.
When we gather together in his name, he's in the midst. I tell you, my husband teaches Bible study in our apartment every week on Tuesday evenings at 7 o'clock. Sometimes it's only one other person here. It's just him and I and another person. There have been times where it's just been him and I. And he still preaches and teaches like he got 5,000, 10,000 people in the room.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell that it's just him and I or just one other person.
Mm-hmm.
Because he preaches and teaches like the room is full.
Yeah.
And that's how God wants us. It's not based on numbers. But guess what? Whatever you're faithful, if you're faithful over a few things, he'll make you ruler over many things.
Yes.
So
yeah.
I said all that to say we better do what we're supposed to do in the Lord. And one of the things that we're supposed to do is praise God. One of the things we're supposed to do is to worship the Lord our God. He said, worship the Lord our God in spirit and in truth. We got to worship him in spirit and in truth. This old flesh does not want to worship God. This old flesh cannot even worship God, not the flesh.
Mm-mm.
But sometimes we got to make our flesh just submit to the spirit. But see, we got to train our flesh. We got to train our flesh to sit down and shut up. We got to train our flesh. We have to feed our spirit and let our flesh just, you know, be malnourished. And I don't mean literally let your flesh be malnourished because we don't want anybody to be, you know, become dyslexic or anything like that. But what we are saying is that whatever you feed is what's going to have life. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. If you sow to the spirit, you reap life and peace. That's what the word of God says. And that's what we have to do. We have to sow to the spirit. You know, feed the spirit man with the word of God. Feed the spirit man with prayer. Feed the spirit man with praise.
Amen.
And don't allow the flesh to rule over us. Because for real, we are spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We are spirit. We have a soul and we live in a body. But we are spirit. God breathed into us the breath of life. We are spirit. Some people just go crazy because they don't know what they're looking for, but they're really looking for God.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really know what they're looking for, but they're looking for that missing component, and that's God. And we got to just fall in love with him. We don't care who's around, who likes it, who doesn't like it, because guess what? People in their other religions, they're going to come around, and they're going to do just what they want to do around us. Why can't we praise God? Why can't we worship God? Why can't we talk about the goodness of God? Why can't we read our Bible and whoever don't like it just don't like it? I don't mean to offend people, but guess what? Like I said, people in other religions come around us and do what they want to do. Why should we be ashamed of the true and living God? Why should we be ashamed of the true and living God?
Right.
Praise him. I was looking at a program today, and the woman was talking. She was just talking kookaloo stuff. And I said, Lord, I kind of got upset when I heard what she was saying, but then I said, you know what? Lord, I thank you that they can only say what they say because they're of the world. You know, when people talk now and they say things about people should not get, people shouldn't have babies until they get married, you know, it should be marriage before baby and this and that. And people were getting all mad about that. And they were saying, oh, no, this is 2013. People don't have to get married now to have babies and this, that, and the third. That's old school, yada, yada. But guess what? If we're going to live righteous, we need to live righteous. We need to stop playing games with God. We need to stop acting like the world and doing the things that the world do. If we're supposed to be called of God, we need to be set apart from the world. The world is going to do just what their master tells them to do. And we're supposed to do what our master tells us to do if God is really our master. Is he?
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is. He is our master.
But see, some of us say that, but we don't live like he is. Because guess what? Like my husband said last week in Bible study, I think he's going to continue on that tonight. When somebody, if you look at the slaves, and if they had a master, Let me tell you something. Whatever that master said, you obeyed. You respected that master. You didn't have to like that master, but you respected that master. You obeyed that master. And if you didn't, you suffered the consequences.
Amen. Amen. May I just add, Evangelist?
Yes.
Add on that point. We Christians are funny people. We know what to say to make ourselves sound holy. We know the right things to say to how we should be. And we speak as though we are that already. This is a process thing.
Yes, it is.
It's a never-ending thing. It's like you said before. Do you really know what I'm writing on it now about lordship? What is a lord? And what is our response as servants to a lord? Well, what's our response as slaves to a master? Keep in mind, you're not a servant to a master. You're a slave to a master. You're a servant to a Lord and slave to a master. So when you say he's your Lord and your master, you're saying I am his servant and I am his slave. Now, a slave doesn't have an opinion.
Ooh.
A slave's opinion doesn't even matter to the master. A slave can't even approach the master face to face and eyeball to eyeball. A slave comes humbly before the master, head bowed, acknowledging you're my master. Nothing that I think can be realized until I consult you first. Slave times of our nation and even in other nations, slaves always had to submit themselves totally to the will of the master. They had no will of their own. All of their own. Tonight I want to speak about commitment versus surrender. Commitment means that you're still in control. I'm choosing to be committed to you. That's a choice. And as long as it's a choice, I have control over that choice. But surrender means I relinquish. I release all of my control and I give it to you for you to control. You hear the difference?
Mm-hmm.
It means I'm in control still. That's a choice I'm making. So as long as I'm making the choice, I still have control over the situation. But when I surrender, I relinquish my control, I release my control, I hand my control over to you and say to you, you take control of my control. That's what it means to have him as your Lord. Now, if we would look at that honestly, I don't mean how it should be, where we hope we finally will arrive to. But when we actually look at this sincerely, honestly, and with all forethought, can we say in honesty, I ain't talking about what you want to say, I'll honestly say, he is my Lord and my master. If that's the definition, if that's the criteria, then can we honestly say he right now is my Lord and my master? Right now. I'm not talking about what will be one day. I'm talking about right now. January, what is this, the 28th or what is the 27th, the 28th, whatever?
29th.
The 29th? Tuesday, January 29th, 2013. Right now. Is he really your master?
Yes.
A master, also I'm going to tell you something about a slave. A slave don't go to another slave before he goes to the master and asks the slave's opinion about something.
Mm-hmm.
He goes directly to the master. If the master says, no, you can't do this, he don't go to the slave and say, well, how do you think I can do it? Mm-hmm. Or should I do it? Help me do it. Or tell me what to do. The master said this, but I'm gonna go to you. You know, we as Christians, we actually go to worldly friends for advice.
Yes.
People that we know are not going to give you the word in response to the situation, but will give you their own personal opinion about the situation. And because they're in the world, they're going to give you an opinion that's worldly.
And that agrees with us.
Turn to our worldly friends, because we don't want to hear the right thing. We want to hear the thing we want to hear. And we know the worldly friend will say, girl, if I were you, man, you won't take all that. And that's what we want to hear. We want to hear a word of rebellion. We want to hear a word of resistance. We want to hear a word of getting even and getting back at and having vengeance toward. We want to hear all that. We don't want to hear somebody say, boy, you better forgive them. We don't want to hear somebody say, well, I know they did you wrong, but pray for them anyhow. Or get yourself together. Are you going to respond the same way they're responding? Are you going to put down your religion like some Christians say? I'm going to put down my religion for a little bit. Well, you might as well, you never had it in the first place. Because that means that you're still in control. If you can pick it up and put it down, you're still in control. You haven't surrendered nothing. Up when I want to, I can put it down when I want to, and I can pick it back up when I want to. So is God in control of that? Or are you still in control?
So
as we listen to the words of some, I wish we would begin to listen to some of the words of some of these hymns and some of these gospel tunes and other things. We should really listen to the lyrics. I would like one day, maybe we can even do it on the show, just to go through the lyrics after we play the songs. Maybe have a little sermon or a little message on the lyrics of the songs we're singing.
That's a good idea.
You know, because sometimes we like the beat, we like the way it sounds, we like the music. The music is appealing to our ears and stirs our hearts. Sometimes we need to listen to the words of something.
Mhm. Like this song. I'm just gonna play a little bit of it because I know what you're talking about. Watch.
Keep on.
Okay. I guess.
Good morning. I had a good night's sleep, and it's my favorite day of the week, and I believe I'll start the prayer, then get ready, because I got to get there.
Okay, I played that because I like that song because of the beat. I haven't really learned the words yet because I like the beat.
Okay.
So sometimes I really don't care what the words say because I like the beat. It get me to snap in my hands and all of that. So how is that helping me exactly? Hello?
Well, it's almost like a sermon. A preacher that can really give you a real dynamic and dramatic sermon jumps off the pulpit and down and spins around and, oh, Jesus, my God.
Hello,
dear mother.
Lordy, lordy, lordy.
We say, man, Reverend Bishop, Apostle, Potentate, Pope, Evangelist, whatever the title may be, he really gave a message this morning. Somebody said, well, what was the message about? I don't know, man, but he tore it up.
He tore it up, but I don't know what he said.
He jumped off the pulpit. You know, he spun around, he spoke in tongues, he laid on the floor, he did a jig, he did a this, he did a that. He slapped a couple of people, and they fell, and he lifted them back up and hit them again. Oh, man, you should have seen it. It's all about seeing.
Entertainment.
Seeing that preacher preach.
Entertainment.
Somebody preach.
That's entertainment.
Exactly. How can you see somebody preach?
Well.
It's a spoken word. You're supposed to hear it, I believe. Not see it.
We have 6 minutes left.
Amen.
Thank everybody for joining us on tonight. And we're going to close out with this one song. And listen to the song. It's called Take Me to the King.
Yeah, amen. I love it.
Okay. And listen to the words of this song. If the Lord says the same, we'll be back on tomorrow at 5 o'clock p.m. And we'll be talking and probably have some songs in throughout there. But right now we're going to play this song. Good night, everyone. Thank you for joining us. God bless you. If the Lord says the same, we'll be back tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Amen.
Take me to the King.
Good night.
Good night.
Hallelujah. Take me to the King.